The soldiers carried the coffins of Ossa, Esma, Ve, and Gratho quite slowly, stopping for a few beats after each pace. My mind wandered, as it always did during long aughts, and I found myself thinking about those four Veilers, recalling my first impressions of them in Masht when I'd been cornered and hadn't understood yet what they were. The scenes played in my head like spielies. Ossa, perched one leg at atop the sphere that sheltered me, fending off attackers with snap kicks. Esma, dancing across the plaza toward the sniper, while Gratho made his body into a bullet shield for me. Ve fixing me up afterwards, so efficiently, so ruthlessly, that snot had run out of my nose and tears from my eyes. Were doing so, for I was weeping now, trying to imagine their last moments, especially Surave, out on the icosahedron, in single combat against several terrified men with cutting tools. Alone, in the dark, the blue face of Arb, thousands of miles away, knowing in the last moments she'd never breathe its air again, never hear the thousand brooks of the ringing vale. Raz? It was Ayla's voice. She had her hand, more gently this time, on my elbow. I wiped my face dry with my bolt, got a moment's clear view before things got all misty again. The honor guard across the pool had set the Veiler's coffins down and were standing there expectantly.
Time to go, Ayla said.
Leo, Jessery, and Arcibald were all looking at me,
all crying too.
We all bent our knees, got a grip on the coffin, raised it off the deck.
Sing something, Ayla suggested.
We looked at her helplessly, until she said the name of a chant that we used for the Aught of Requiem at Edhar. Arcibald started it, giving us the pitch in his clear tenor, and we all joined in with our parts. We all had to do some improvising, but few noticed and none cared. As we came out in view of the Lateran Pavilion, Jules Verne Durand went off the air. I glanced up through the windows of the translator's booth and saw other Laterans rushing to his side to lay hands on him. We all sang louder.
So much for the Orth translation,
Jessery said, once we had reached the water and set Lys down. But he said it in a simple and plaintive way that did not make me want to hurt him.
It's okay,
Leo said.
That's the good thing about an aught. The words don't matter.
And he rested his hand absent-mindedly on the lid of the coffin. The soldiers on the opposite bank transferred the coffins of the Veilers onto a sort of flatboat. They could simply have marched them around to us, but there seemed to be something in the act of crossing the water that was of ceremonial meaning here.
I get it,
Arcibald said.
It represents the cosmos, the gulf between us.
There was more music. The raft was staffed by four women in robes who began rowing it across. The music was much easier on the ears than the funeral march. Different instruments with softer tones, and a solo by a Lateran woman who stood at the edge of the water and seemed to make the whole orb resonate with the power of her voice. It was a good going-home piece, I reckoned. When the ladies were halfway finished rowing across, Jessery spoke up.
Not setting any speed records, are they?
Yeah,
Leo said.
I was just thinking the same thing. Give us a boat. We could take them.
It wasn't that funny, but our bodies thought it was, and we had to do a lot of work in the next couple of minutes trying to avoid laughing so obviously as to create a diplomatic incident. When the boat finally arrived, we took the coffins off, then loaded Lisa's on board. To the accompaniment of more music, those slow-rowing ladies took her in a long arc to the Lateran shore, where she was brought off by half a dozen civilian pallbearers, friends of Jules and of Lys, I guessed, while Jules, supported by a couple of friends, looked on. Then, in four separate trips, we carried the Veiler's coffins back to the staging area behind the inflatable. Meanwhile, Lys was conveyed into the Lateran Pavilion so that Jules could have a private moment with her. The oar ladies rowed back to the Ernuden shore. Fra Lodegir and Gan Odru, from opposite sides of the pond, each said a few words, reminding us about the others who had died in the little war that we had come here to conclude. on Arb, the ones who had been killed in the rod attacks, and up here, the ones who had fallen to the Veilers. After a moment of silence, we broke for an intermission, and food and drinks were brought out on trays by stewards. Apparently, the need to eat after a funeral was as universal as the Adrokinic theorem. The boat ladies went to work, refitting their barge with a table, draped with blue cloth and arrayed with piles of documents.
Raz.
I'd been waiting for my crack at a food tray, but turned around to discover Emin a few paces away, just in the act of underhanding something to me. Reflexes took over, and I pawed it out of the air. It was another one of those conversation jamming machines.
I stole it from a Prokian, he explained.
Won't the Prokian be needing it? I asked. My face, I hoped, the picture of mock concern.
Nah, redundant.